Good evening, everyone. I want to thank Karen and the leadership of Jewish Canyon Network for inviting me to share a few words of Torah with you tonight. It's always, you know, as I often say, as a Baltimore transplant. I still say that, even though we've been here for 15 years. But I've come to learn that if you weren't born here, you're always a transplant. And my children maybe have a shot at being Baltimore natives. But I think for those of us who came to this community from other communities, it is remarkable and astounding to see the incredible landscape of chesed that we have. It is truly remarkable because even though Baltimore may not be as large as other Jewish communities, it's not just the number of organizations, because anyone could have a number of organizations. It's the commitment of the leadership of these organizations. It's the commitment of the volunteers of these organizations, which are just truly incredible. You know, talking about women and men who devote themselves 24/7 to chesed. Big needs, little needs, nothing is too big, nothing is too small, nothing is too much or nothing is too insignificant. And I think clearly Jewish Caring Network is one of our chesed flagship organizations run by just an incredibly dedicated group of women who mamish have one agenda item, and that is to serve the needs of those in need, big or small, illness, difficulties, whatever it may be. And so I think I speak on behalf of everyone here, and I think on behalf of the greater community, where we thank the leadership of Jewish Caring Network for such selfless dedication to the need, to the tzrachim of our community. I truly hope that the day will come when you will be put out of business. And in Yeretz Hashem, you'll take up crocheting or something like that. Or spend your days however you want. And halavai, the day will come where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rofe Kol Basar, will swoop down and heal all illness. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who mends broken hearts, will heal all of the brokenhearted. And when just will be showered with Shefa, with Bracha, with Yeshua, with Nechama, for all of our problems, big and small. But it's an incredible source of nachas rach to know that until that day, we have organizations like Jewish Caring Network to be able to help where the help is needed, to mend the hearts to the best of their abilities, and to see to the needs of those in our community who truly need an additional lifeline. So we thank you for all of your incredible avodah, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to give you the koach for many years to come to take care of his children. So I want to share with you a brief idea this evening. And when thinking about what to speak about, so, you know, Karen, explain to me that in attendance tonight are many of you who are dealing with various different life struggles and situations. And so often when I'm asked to speak and to give chizuk, I say, you know, I'm always very reticent to give chizuk because it's always easy to give chizuk to someone who is struggling when you are not struggling yourself. And I'm sure in this room, there are those who are contending with all varieties of different life struggle. Those who are contending with illness. Those who are contending with loss. Those who are contending with life issues, big and small. And you know, when we speak about life issues, big and small, you know, sometimes when a person is having a difficulty and they go to a friend for etzah, so sometimes well-meaning people try to go ahead and give chizuk by contextualizing your suffering. Right? Do you ever have a situation where you're struggling with something, you go to someone and they tell you that, of course, that most famous line, well, you know, there are children starving in Africa. I know this is a good line for a dinner, right? There are children starving in Africa. And I've always found that is true. There are children starving in Africa. There are always people with problems who are bigger than my own. That's absolutely true. No matter how acute your suffering, no matter how intense your grief, there is always someone who has it worse. But just because there's someone who has it worse does not take away from the fact that the challenges that I have are real. And just because someone is suffering more doesn't take away from the fact that my challenges are still the things that I must contend with day in and day out. So I can't tell you how to deal with life challenges. And I can't give you chizuk because for me, to give any of you chizuk with all the variety of different challenges. I have my challenges, you have your challenges. You can't understand my challenges, and I can't understand your challenges. So I'm not going to give you chizuk. Instead, what I'm going to share with you is an idea which I draw chizuk from. An idea that often I turn to in difficult moments of life, with the hope that in the same way that this concept has given me chizuk, in Meretz Hashem, it should give you the same to deal with whatever life situation, big or small, you find yourself faced with. And this idea comes from what I think is one of the most moving kapitlach in Tehillim. Tehillim Chav Gimel, chapter 23. Now the truth is, this psalm, this kapitel, I think often gets a very bad rap. Why? It's Mizmor LeDavid Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. Why does it get such a bad rap? Because we recite it when? It's often recited at a levaya. It's often recited at a funeral, right? It's often one of the first kapitlach to be recited. So it's almost that, and again, because the line in there is, Gam ke'elech begeit salmoves, lo ira ra ki atayim adi. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So this is the levaya kapitel. This is the funeral kapitel. But the truth is, as we're going to see in just a few moments, the power of David HaMelech's words is not in death. The power of David HaMelech's words is in its life-affirming message. And that message, I believe, is contained in the very opening phrase of the kapitel. Mizmor LeDavid Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. Literally, again, a song of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And the question that the Mefarshim are intrigued by is that David HaMelech is the first person to ever refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a shepherd. Mizmor LeDavid Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. Hashem is my shepherd. God is referred to in a variety of different ways. We call God our Father. Sometimes, again, for example, in Kabbalistic literature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sometimes referred to as a mother. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shir HaShirim is referred to as a beloved spouse. We find Avinu, Father, Imenu, our mother, Malkeinu, our King, our Master, Kael, Godol, Gibor, Nora. But David HaMelech was the first one who came along and called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my shepherd. And the question that the Mefarshim and the commentaries contend with is why? What's the unique aspect that David HaMelech is calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu a shepherd? And I want to share with you an incredible insight by the Malbim. I'm going to read to you. Listen to these words. Mizmor LeDavid, the Malbim writes, B'mizmor hazeh, charat eskarosav me'is heyoseh ro'atzon b'midbar, ad sha'ala l'melucha. You know, we studied Tehillim for a number of years in the Wednesday morning with Shir. And one of the things that was so striking in this Shir, in this Limud, was this idea that every single kapitel of Tehillim is reflective of something happening in King David's life. In other words, Tehillim, we just read the words, they give us chizuk even if we don't know what it means, but each psalm is related to some life event that either occurred to David himself, or ultimately, again, sometimes prophetically foreshadows something that is going to occur at a future date. But every Tehillim has, every kapitel, every chapter has a narrative, has a backstory. So the Malbim says, what's the backstory here? And he says something dramatically amazing. That chapter 23 is a reflective psalm. It's King David reflecting on his life from his youth all the way until his ascension to the throne. He goes on, Tchila yashkif areishis imechayiv, eis hisbode dimatzon b'midbar. And the Malbim says something amazing. David HaMelech reflects on the good old days. You know, you think to yourself, who wouldn't want to be king? Who wouldn't want to be king? Right? All the power you could want, all the fame you could want, all the wealth you could want, many alluring things. But amazingly enough, David HaMelech never wanted the monarchy. He never wanted it. What did David want more than anything in this world? This is incredible. What did David want more than anything? He wanted to be a shepherd. He didn't want to be a soldier. He didn't want to be a warrior. He didn't want to be a monarch. He just wanted to be a shepherd. So you say to yourself, well, why would anyone want to be a shepherd? Seems like so much hard work. Can't you get a guy for that? Right? You have to be the shepherd yourself. So the Malbim says something amazing. David HaMelech relished and cherished the solitude of shepherding. Because you see, when you shepherd, what do? I mean, I'm going to guess what you do when you shepherd. You take the flock out to the middle of nowhere. And what does the flock do? They eat. And they eat for how long? As long as they want to. Right? As long as they want to. And what does the shepherd do while the flock is grazing? What does he do? He sits under the tree. He sits under the tree. He keeps a watchful eye on the flock. But the truth is, there's nothing actively for him to do at that point in time. And says the Malbim, David HaMelech yearned. He pined for those days of sitting out in the field, of being alone with the flock. And understand, not because he was a great lover of livestock, right? Not because he had a special affinity for the sheep, but because he loved the solitude. He loved to be alone with himself. He loved to be alone with his Creator. Because it was during those times that he was able to enter into a meaningful, dialogical connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was during those times in which he composed so many of the beautiful and melodic kapitlach of Tehillim. It was during the time when life was uncomplicated. You see, we love David HaMelech. David HaMelech is incredible. The founder of a dynastic monarchy, the founder of the messianic line. But you understand, David HaMelech suffered terribly throughout life. David HaMelech encountered every single life challenge. He had problems with his children. He himself dealt with debilitating sickness and illness. He grieved over the loss of a child. He had Shalom Bayis problems. Remember again, and Shalom Bayis, I'm putting it mildly, David HaMelech is on his deathbed. And what are his kids doing? What are his kids doing when he's on his deathbed? They're launching rebellions, right? Adonio ben Chagis is proclaiming himself king. As David HaMelech is drawing his last breaths, David HaMelech had every single problem possibly imaginable. You know the only one problem David HaMelech didn't have? The one problem? Money. Baruch Hashem. He was very comfortable. That's one of the perks of being king, right? He never had to worry about paying the bills. He had plenty of money. But tzaras, any tzara you could think of, David HaMelech had it. Sickness, grief, loss, shalom bayis, marital discord, whatever it is, you name it, David HaMelech had it. And says the Malbim, do you understand what's unfolding in this kapitel? David HaMelech is yearning and pining for his past. He says, Ribono Shel Olam, I never wanted this life. I just want to go on record. I never wanted this. There are some people who run after power. There are some people who run after honor. There are some people who run after accolades, who run after recognition. And then there are other people who literally will do anything and everything in their power to avoid the limelight, to avoid the spotlight, to avoid any semblance of honorific titles or politics or positions. David HaMelech was of that latter category. See, Ribono Shel Olam, I never wanted this monarchy. I never wanted it. The truth is, I never even wanted to be an acclaimed warrior. I never wanted to be the one who vanquished Goliath, who vanquished Goliath. No one else was stepping up, so I stepped up. This is not the life I wanted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is not what I signed up for, and it sounds strange. Really, you're complaining about being king? It's so bad to be king? And if you asked David HaMelech, he would tell you? Yes. Because you understand, David HaMelech, there's a whole episode with Bathsheba. And remember again, every single time he walks into the Beis Medrash, he's always being taunted. He's always being ridiculed. David HaMelech has enemies within, has enemies outside, internal enemies, external enemies. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I never, ever signed up for this. This is not fair. This is not the life that I want. This is not the life that I asked for. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, I never asked you for anything big. I never needed to be wealthy. I never needed to be respected. I never needed all the pomp and circumstance. Do you know the only thing I wanted? A little bit of shade on a hot day while I watch the flock. I wanted to sit out in the field. David HaMelech says, you know what? You know what the other great part about shepherding is? Other really great part about shepherding? Who else is with you in the field? No one. A little bit of solitude, or sometimes a lot of solitude, is an incredible bracha. I never wanted this life, David HaMelech says. The life that I wanted was the life of the shepherd. The life that I wanted was the life of my youth. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you pushed me into circumstances that I never signed up for. You pushed me into circumstances that I never agreed to. You pushed me into a lifestyle that was not of my own choosing, says the Malbim. That's what's unfolding over here. Mizmor le David Hashem roi lo echsar. David HaMelech saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I had one simple dream and aspiration for life, and that was to be a shepherd. But you took that away from me. You know, I never asked to win the Powerball. I never asked for a big mansion. I never asked for anything big. Fakir, just the opposite. I asked for simplicity in life. I asked for tranquility in life. I just never wanted to rock the boat. And now, not a day goes by that the boat is not rocked. And it's not rocked by me. It's rocked by people outside of me. It's rocked by people outside of the boat. I didn't ask for this life. Sounds a little bit familiar, no? Don't we all find ourselves in circumstances like that? Where we look at our lives, and the truth is, you know, we try to be good from Jews with solid emuna. And we try to go ahead and believe Gamzu Latova. You know, I often say, Gamzu Latova sometimes gets a very bad rap. I remember my children, when they were little, used to have one of these tapes. I don't know if it was Uncle Maishi or one of these other. And there was a song, Gamzu Latova. And you know what the content of this, the narrative of the song was? Essentially, there was a guy who was a shlemazel. He could not get his life together. And so he goes to the airport, he misses the flight. There's not another flight for 3 days. It's Gamzu Latova. And Gwaj says, go to a train station. No train. Gamzu Latova. Nothing to eat for 4 days. Gamzu Latova. And I always said, Ribbono Shel Olam is such flawed theology. Because what does it sound like? Gamzu Latova is what you say when you're really angry at life, but you still want to sound frum. Right? Gamzu Latova, it'll be good. In your heart, you're seething. In your heart, you can't believe it. No, Gamzu Latova means on some level, I believe that everything will be good. Of course, again, whether it's good in this world, good in the next world. But Ribbono Shel Olam, I didn't sign up for these circumstances. I never asked you for anything big. I never asked you for anything dramatic. I just wanted to be the shepherd. I just wanted to live a tranquil life, a basic tranquil life, an everyday normal life, day in and day out. I'm willing to work hard. I don't even need so much money. The amount of children you give me, the mishpacha you give me, just let people be healthy. Just let there be basic longevity. Just like the basic everyday brachos. That's all I asked for. That's all I asked for. And David HaMelech says, Bon Shalom, you didn't give it to me. You didn't give it to me. You took away a basic life and you replaced it with a whole variety of hardships. And I know we don't normally think about the monarchy as a variety of hardships, but for David HaMelech, that's what it was. It destroyed him personally. It destroyed his mishpacha. It's true, he endured. He founded a dynastic monarchy as the father of the messianic line. But the toll that it took on him is overwhelming. Mizmor le David Hashem roi lo echsar. David HaMelech saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shel Olam, all I wanted was a simple life. I just wanted to be a shepherd. You will not let me be the shepherd. So if you will not let me be the shepherd to my flock, I ask you to please be the shepherd to me. All I wanted to do was to care for my flock. You're not letting me do that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the least you could do for me is to shepherd me through the difficult and tumultuous times throughout life. And I think the power of this kapitel is that it very much speaks to the nature of the human condition. Because I would venture to say, if not for all of us, then for the overwhelming majority of most of us, life does not go as planned. For some of us, it's smaller things. Like I thought I was going to have this profession, and instead I had this profession. Or I thought I was going to have a larger family, and instead I have a smaller family. For others, it's I thought I was going to grow old with my spouse, and now that's not going to happen. For others, I thought my children would all be healthy, and now it's not like that. For others, I thought that I would have physical vitality until an advanced age, and now it's not like that. I would venture to say that there's not one of us in this room who life has gone according to plan. But the incredible news is we're in good company. because it didn't go according to plan for David HaMelech as well. Mizmor leDavid Hashem roi lo echsar. Is David HaMelech crying out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem, please, I never asked anything big of you. I just wanted to be a shepherd. You took it from me. You took it from me. You took the simple good life from me. Now what? Now what? No, the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in the first chapter of Mesilas Yesharim, says something incredibly amazing. He writes, Yisod hachasidus v'shara sha'avoda t'mima. The root of pious spiritual religious service in this world. Sheyisbarer v'yisames itzel ha'adam ma chovaso ba'olamo. The Ramchal says that each of us has to ask ourselves a simple question in this world, which is, what is my obligation in this world? Now, it's fascinating, right? Because the question we often ask ourselves in the time that we're young is what? What do I want to do when I grow up? The Ramchal says the Jew asks a different kind of question. Not what do I want to do when I grow up, but what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need me to do when I grow up? Now, there are some very fortunate people who what they want to do and what God wants them to do happen to be the same thing. But for most of us, what I want from my life and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have from my life are very often dramatically different things. You know, the Ramchal writes these words. People often don't know the story of Ramosha Chaim Lutzato. The Ramchal, you know, died at the age of 38 after making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Family is wiped out in a plague. But why did he move to Eretz Yisrael? I mean, you don't have to ask why he moved. He loved Eretz Yisrael. He was blacklisted because he was accused of being a Sabbatian, a follower of Shabtai Tzvi, to the point that the Ramchal could not get a job teaching Torah. He became an optician, and when he could not eke out a living as an optician, he decided, you know what? Might as well try my luck in Eretz Yisrael. And at the age of 38, he had already left this world. The Ramchal understood what it meant when you have a David HaMelech moment, when you thought life was going to be a certain way, and you realize now it is never going to be that way. So you ask yourself a fundamental question. I don't have the life that I wanted. I have the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me. Ribono Shel Olam, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to accomplish? Ma chovaso ba'olamo. Because I no longer have the luxury of asking what I want to do when I grow up. Because that ship has sailed. Not just because I'm already grown up, but because life circumstances have set in. This is the life that I have. So now what am I going to do? But the incredible part is we all go through this. And we think it's unique to us. How incredible is it to think that the father of the Mashiach went through the same exact things. Mizmor leDavid Hashem roi lo echsar. I didn't ask for this. This is not the life that I want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt your feelings by saying that. I love you. Everything you do is perfect. Everything you do is wonderful. But I have to tell you, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I signed up for. So what do I do now? And here's the incredible part. Because if you look at the beginning of that kapitel, David HaMelech says, the pasuk says, the verse says, Mizmor leDavid. Mizmor leDavid. You know, Tehillim, the kapitlach, often start in two different ways. There's leDavid Mizmor and Mizmor leDavid. What's the difference? Mizmor leDavid means David HaMelech having to self-inspire, as opposed to leDavid Mizmor, is David is already in a state of inspiration. And so David HaMelech, in the same breath when he says, Hashem roi lo echsar, is lamenting the life that he lost, says, you know what? I will not surrender. I will not give in. And I will not give up. It is true, Ribono Shel Olam, this is not the life that I wanted. But I'm going to find a way to sing nevertheless. These are not the circumstances I ever thought I would be living through. But Mizmor LeDavid, I'm going to find a way to sing nevertheless. I cannot believe, still I cannot believe, even though these have been my circumstances for years, I still cannot believe, you know, sometimes we have circumstances that are so overwhelming that literally we think to ourselves, this must be a dream. This can't be real. I knew at some point in time I'm going to wake up. And I wake up, but it's not a dream. It's the same reality day after day after day. Mizmor LeDavid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to find a way to sing. Because if this is the life you've given me, then I have to ask myself one simple question. Machovasa ba'olamo. I need to figure out what to do with it. I need to figure out how to maximize it. I need to figure out ultimately what you want me to do with these circumstances and how you want me to grow from them. You know, Aaron HaKohen loses his sons, Nadav and Avihu, on the day that the Beis HaMikdash, that the Mishkan was consecrated. And the Torah records the incredible response of Aaron HaKohen. The response Aaron here sees that his two sons were just killed on what was supposed to be a Yom Tov, a joyous day. And Aaron's response is, Vayidom Aaron. He's quiet. He's quiet. The great tzaddik, Rabbi Nachum Mendel of Vitebsk, says, as great as Aaron was, David HaMelech was even greater. Because what does David HaMelech say? The pasuk says, Vayidom Aaron. He was silent, which means he accepted the reality. He accepted the new reality. This is my new life. I accept it. David HaMelech did something even greater. Because what does it say by David HaMelech? Leman yizamercha kavod v'lo yidom. David HaMelech says, no, Ribbono Shel Olam, I accept my circumstances, but I will not be silenced. I will find a way to sing, even though you have foisted upon me these difficult and overwhelming circumstances. Aaron was great, because Aaron accepted the Ratzon Hashem, because everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is Tov. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is Emes. David HaMelech was even greater. L'mayin yizamercha kavod v'lo yidom. It's not enough just to accept. I have to figure out how to sing. I have to figure out how to maximize. I have to figure out how I could not rise above or transcend, but how I can make the most of these circumstances. Because macho vaso ba'olamo. The stark reality we learn as we grow up is that life is not about what you want to do when you grow up, but it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you to do. And sometimes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us to do only can be accomplished through tears, through broken hearts, through difficult circumstances. And so we have a choice. The choice is, I could lament the life that has been lost. I could lament and I could pine for my past, when life was good, and life was perfect, and the world was as it should be. I could spend all of my emotional energy focusing on what was and trying anything and everything to get back there. And all of us do that to some degree. And we know it gets us absolutely nowhere. Because I can't reclaim the past any more than David HaMelech was able to go ahead and resume his shepherding lifestyle. Once life moves on, life moves on. And so the only real option I have is to embrace the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me, to embrace the circumstances that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me, and to figure out a way to maximize it. To figure out, ma chovaso ba'olamo. What is my responsibility in this world? What is my tachlis in this world? What is my destiny with the circumstances that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me? So we should be Zelchem Yartza Hashem. To first of all, find solace in the words of David HaMelech. Because it's life-affirming to know that the very things that many of us struggle with, even the great David HaMelech struggled with. It's good to know that I'm in good company, that when I yearn and I pine for what was, or when I can't believe that life has robbed me of my brachos, David HaMelech felt that same way as well. But what makes a David HaMelech? What makes a man who has lost the life that he wanted and finds himself in difficult and alien circumstances, what makes him great? Leman izamercha kavod velo yidom. Just because I don't have the life that I want, and maybe I'll never again have the life that I want, but I have to find the courage to embrace the life that I have. I have to find the courage to maximize the circumstances I have. I have to find the courage to keep singing, no matter how difficult my circumstances may become. May we be zochem yertz Hashem to internalize this Davidic strength. May we be zochem yertz Hashem to embrace the brachos and the nisyonos. May we be zochem yertz Hashem to find the courage to stop pining and yearning for what was and start maximizing what is. Thank you.